And joining us now is Barbara Ann Bernard, Chief Investment Officer at Wincrest Capital, getting her market outlook. I do like the way you start your talking points at your centres here, Barbara, and it is Tina versus Tara. Tell us what that means exactly.
Thanks, Rashad. Always happy to be on. So, yeah, I think for the first time in a long time, there is an alternative to equities, and people call that the Tina trade. There is no alternative. So what we think is happening is investors are dumping Tina to date Tara. And even as a predominantly equity investor, increasingly when we look at a stock, we look at the bonds and we're like, hang on. Double-digit, guaranteed, safe company. So this is the equity markets have competition for the first time in a long time.
I like this line as well. Sell hubris, buy humiliation.
Well, I'm a contrarian value investor, so that comes naturally. But you know, one of the things that we're seeing right now is that everyone is hiding in U.S. equities, and I'm not sure if that's a function of so much money being passively invested. Or people thinking it's safe. But in my experience, things can be safe or they can be cheap, but they're not both, right? So we think the US is expensive. And just to put some numbers around that, right now the US is 69.7% weighting in the MSCI All Country World Index. If you were to reweight the MSCI All Country World Index by GDP contribution, which they do, the U.S. would be 20.6%, not 69.7%. So by definition,
it's not very fair, though, because for years we had China, you know, China economy
That's
was
right.
soaring, but the stock market was, you know, kind of in the toilet. So it's a little bit of a tricky comparison.
I think so. But what excites me is that ratio is at an all-time high, and it can't go on forever because that would mean 100% of the investments were in the U.S. And because money is finite, if so many dollars are in the U.S., it means other places are overlooked. So, you know, we talk about bubbles and anti-bubbles. And anti-bubbles are, you know, companies and countries that have great growth prospects that are just being overlooked. And that's where we look for value. And, you know, this concept of a country being very popular is not without precedent. In the 80s, Japan accounted for 15% of global GDP, but attracted 50% of all the money. So we've seen this before, and we are far more constructive on emerging markets than the places that capital is afraid to go.
So, Barbara, can we draw parallels between China and Japan in the 1980s?
Of course, it's different. It always is. And, you know, but China has sold off, in my opinion, indiscriminately. Like, why is it sold off so significantly last week? Because people say, oh, Xi will be in power again. But to me, I'm like, we know what that is. It's more of the same. That doesn't change my risk tolerance for China, right?
No,
so then
I don't think it's more of the same. And I think a lot of people don't think it's more of the same. In fact, they think a big change has been made and that the economy and markets will take a distinct back seat to the politics and to gaining power.
Yes, but what is priced in? Right. And so when I'm not buying China as a market, we're trying to find gems within a market that's been oversold. And so when I think about opportunities, like one of the companies that we're quite constructive on is EDU, the largest provider of after school tutoring. And to put into perspective the margin of safety we have on that, the net cash on the balance sheet is $4.3 billion, which is over 50% higher than the market cap, which means you're getting the business for free and being paid to wait. And they have now announced that they will be profitable at the operating level next year. They've just announced a $400 million buyback, which is 10% of the market cap. So where I get excited is when I find mispriced but not mismanaged companies. And what I think is some macro volatility can create micro opportunity. So I'm not saying you just go buy the index. What I'm advocating is finding the baby that's been thrown out with the bathwater.
Yep. And
that's always good.
There are a lot of babies been thrown out with the bathwater, and your challenge. One other one that I want to get to is you've had some great notes here. You got your favorite Peter Drucker quote. Tell us what it is and why you like it.
Oh, so you know,
the heroes of the boom are the villains of the bust.
The boom are the villains of the bust. And that's what we're seeing time and time again. If you look at magazine covers, they sort of show consensus, right? And it's fun to go through Barron's over the last 12 months and to see how many fallen angels there are from there. But I mean, everyone from Powell to Musk to Kathy Woods to Tiger Global to Zuckerberg to Bezos, there's so many villains. And what we're seeing is that when you have a rising rate environment, it's an absolute regime change. And so I think what we're witnessing right now is a rotation out of all the tech companies that did so well in an easy money environment, and a rotation into the depressed stocks, the value stocks, the commodity stocks, into, I think, the greatest anti-bubble is active management. I mean, if you just think about, people thought it was so clever to passively invest because they were saving a 1% management fee. But on active management, you know, our fund's flat on you. You could have saved 30% of your whole investment.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Barbara, we got to go, unfortunately. Barbara Ann Bernard, Chief Investment Officer at Wincrest Capital.